What we're doing tonight is we're praying to move in this area. We're interceding on behalf of others. And it's not all interceding. We have worship, we have testimony sometimes. If you want to be on a Wednesday night, come on out. Sense God's presence, get yourself filled, or even get yourself unburdened from the world. Amen? And also, I have a big plus on the tent. People don't remember what it's like in 3 or 4 years ago in July and August. Hot. I know, because I'm in the back going like this. So underneath this, you have this beautiful breeze today. You wouldn't have this in Richville, right? Plus, you have an advertisement out front that says, church, 11,000 people a day see this, and you're here. The cars are here. That says, Jesus is real. These coming and parking out here, that's a testimony. And this is a land that God gave us without anything, free. Walking here because this is a God gift. If we had to purchase all of this and build it and sewer and electric and all this, it would be way over 150 free. That's a testimony right there. As God's put his stamp on us. That's why I want to be back already. You want me to go farther over here? I take that speaker and get on the side, I guess. I don't know. We did test the sound equipment, but you can't trust it, so let's turn to Luke 4:18.
That's not good.
Just be bold. You don't need a mic.
You want to turn it way down? I can yell. This is also in Isaiah. Jesus was quoting the Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised. I don't know what we're going to do with that. Because it's, you think you got it? All right. You were in his sights. When he said this, he was looking at you. He was looking at everyone with a broken heart. When you got saved, he took your broken pieces and he began to put you back together. Amen? You were a captive to sin. You were a captive to the enemy of your soul, the one that was dragging you to hell, and you didn't even know it. You were blind. In the original text in Isaiah, it says you were in total darkness. You could not see. Glory to God for this. If you are saved today, this scripture, you own the scripture. And Jesus dwells inside of you. For what purpose? So that you would carry on and let him live through you to see those that are captive set free, to see the brokenhearted mended, to see people that were blind and in darkness in his marvelous light. If he lives in you today, that is what he wants to do in your heart and soul the rest of your life. You were delivered to be a deliverer, to be a message. In the book of Ephesians, Paul's talking to the whole church, and he says, put on this armor. What's the armor that's on your feet? Prepared to share the gospel. That's what I want to talk to you today about. Be prepared to share the gospel to the captives, to those that are bruised and crushed. And we're going to review what the world has done to those that are bruised and crushed. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Pushing my pages, but I'll gladly put up with that. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, sodomites, neither thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And here's what I want you to see. Such were some of you. Do you realize that? Do you realize you were delivered out of that list? Can you imagine that? And the worst one is not mentioned here. Jesus said this. He said to the Pharisees and the hypocrites, he says, the harlots and the tax collectors go into the kingdom of God before you, the self-righteous. Those that say, I am good enough to stand before God and I am righteous. God says, you are filthy. Your righteousness, even your most righteousness, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. The only righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness that you wear as a man or a woman of God is paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other righteousness that you can claim. There is nothing. It is, Jesus, forgive my sins. I am washed. In the next verse, this is incredible. This lights me up. You want to read that? For such were some of you, but now you are washed. But now you are sanctified. But now you are justified. You are washed, sanctified, and justified before God. That alone, when you come into a worship service, should make your heart explode with praise. Yes, 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 church. Glory, make his praise glorious, the word says. When you shout a shout of victory in his name, you are saying, devil has no ownership on me. I am not his any longer. I was this, but now I am sanctified. I am saved. I am justified before God. When you stand before him, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is your righteousness. Amen. We're going to look at a scripture, or we're going to quote a scripture in Revelation. When you stand before the throne and you see the millions and millions of people, and there is an announcement the Lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome. Do you know how he appears? As a lamb that has been slain for your sins. When you stand there and you first see Jesus Christ, he is a lamb that has died for your sins. Picture that. Do you know why? Do you know why that's there? That is your constant reminder that the blood of Jesus Christ has saved you. You didn't get there on your own. You didn't earn anything. There is no such thing as being good enough and earning it enough. The lamb that was slain. I heard a bad message one time. I really hated this message. It was contorted. It wasn't anyone here or anyone. Yeah, don't worry. It was this. Man was preaching and he said, once you get saved, you have crossed a line and you are to turn your back on the people that you once came from. Wrong. There is a scripture that supports that. It is, you're not supposed to cohort. You're not supposed to do the same things with them but you never turn your back. You never shut the door. And that's what he said. He said, shut the door. You can't do that. You are light. You are supposed to shine in this world. You are supposed to be the image of Jesus Christ to others. You are to carry the Spirit of God that heals broken hearts, that brings prisoners out of prisons. Amen? Yeah, I heard an amen. Glory to God. John 4:36. I love washed, sanctified, justified. It's all right there. Bang, bang, bang. Delivered. I remember when I got saved, I was instantly delivered from drugs and instantly delivered from alcohol. One, two. You know, I've had people ask me, when I got, you know, they'll ask me, when I got saved, I didn't get delivered from those things. And I say, you know why for me? Because those things would have killed me. I didn't have a chance. I didn't have a chance because I was so addicted to them. And I had to have them. I had to have them. It was my escape routes out of reality. But when Jesus shined into my life and my mind, he changed it all. He took those things and he broke the chains. You know, there's a scripture that says, if the Son make you free. There's another translation that says, if the Son sets you free. Two big differences. You know why? Because one indicates that you're set free and you can just lolly, lolly, lolly. The other one is, make you free, whom the Son makes free. It is chains that are cut off. They are bondages that are broken. That is making you free. Amen. So you can walk and you can talk and be that light. I got to find the scripture. John 4:35. The wind keeps blowing everything over here. I'm losing my place. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white already to harvest. They are white already to harvest. You know, God wants to pour out his Spirit today. Today, he wants to pour out his Spirit. He wants to bring people into this place right here for salvation. He wants to bring people in here and cut the bands of wickedness from their life. He wants to set captives free, and he wants to heal broken hearts. Are we going to be a vessel that is made unto honor that he can use for that? I thought Judy was going to preach my sermon when she got up here. What I was talking about, and am talking about. The harvest fields, they are white. I think I can just about quote the Luke 19:36, the triumphal entry into the people had seen great and mighty miracles, and they claimed Jesus on that call, laid down their clothes in Jerusalem, and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, and they heard voices. Everybody could hear it's coming into Jerusalem. You could hear it. The town, it was totally glory coming, sitting on a colt. He's being fulfilled. This film, take palm branches and clothes. Here, do you know what he did? Nobody knows. He beheld Jerusalem to the top, and he looked into Jerusalem. You know what he did? What a party. Here, Jesus, we got this big train going on. King of kings, you're the son of, we celebrate. We said, Hosanna. What are you doing? why are you doing this? You're the city and you're out for a short time either. Never does anything short. In the garden, he's praying and crying out, interceding. May we have that kind of a heart that intercedes, that would weep for those that weep. I supported Bob Dale in Turkey. You know why? One reason. Came to my house, showed a great video, had a great talk, and then he started to weep over those people. That's why I supported him. That's why Jesus wants to live inside of you. He wants to bring himself in the feelings that he has. He wants you to be touched with the feelings of the infirmities of other people. That will move you. He was moved with what? Compassion. But as he beheld that city, what did he see? The same thing he saw or sees here. These are record of events from police blotters, CPS, newspapers, and personal experience. In Herman, 25 years ago, a drunken father begs his son to kill him. His son goes outside, walks along the side of the trailer, and puts a 22 exactly above his father's head and shoots and misses him by that much. I hate the devil. Oh, I hate the devil. 1 year later, exactly 1 year later, on the Underwood Road in Herman, this drunken father begs his son, kill me, just kill me, put me out of my misery. And he goes, to the same hole, drops it down 6 inches, and kills his father. That is what we're in. That's just one. DeKalb Railroad Tracks, 1977. A young lady was abused by a group of men, and she was never, ever the same. Never the same. Ever the same. She became a prostitute for the area for years. Now she's mentally incompetent and in a psych ward. Her first daughter saw what was going on. Her first daughter, we don't know if she committed suicide before she was 30, but she died before she was 30 with suspicious circumstances. Her second daughter actually came to church with us, and it's still unknown her spiritual condition. A Herman man said, or a Herman man's daughter said this to my daughter, you don't know what he does to me at night. I want you to come and stay with me overnight, because if I have somebody staying overnight, my father won't do stuff. Russell man, drunken stepfather, incest with daughter. Richfield, drug house fights. Bigelow, husband beats wife, kids watch. West Herman, a man holds a gun to his head while his family watches. DeKalb, a drunken man, sees his wife burned to death after driving DWI in DeKalb, New York. Hubleton, two Amish children were abducted a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. Governor Hospital, woman sent to the mental ward. Nina's Bar, man sent to Augsburg for mental health after fight. Jane Doe, 625, Governor, mental health. 627 this year, man grabs woman's steering wheel, smashes the dash in a rage of drunkenness. 630 this year, woman sent to mental health. Do you behold your city? Do you behold this area like Jesus Christ did? This is the real question right here. This is the heart of the matter. This is the message. Do you care? Do you care? Do you care? Do you care? Does it affect you in any way? I hope it does. I hope that it does. I didn't even get into Potsdam and Augsburg. Augsburg is one of the hardest places to do anything for God. It is, up until recently, I'm going to have to say that. I believe God is going to do something there. Hallelujah. Matthew 25, 31. Sobering message, isn't it? It's let's get real time. We don't live in a bubble. We live in this world amongst people that are sinful, amongst people that are going to hell. And do we care? Are we going to care? Pastor Rick touched on this scripture. I didn't hear a lot of it, so I'm probably going to repeat some of it. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king shall say, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Did you know that this is the only description in detail of the judgment? Do you realize that? This right here is the detailed judgment. How do we separate sheep from goats? You notice it doesn't say pastors, evangelists, teachers. It says sheep. We're all sheep. We're all going to stand before the Son of Man in all of his glory. Amen? This is what they did. They fed the hungry. They gave drink to the thirsty. They embraced the outsider. They covered those that were stripped of their dignity. Those are the naked. These are spiritual things. You're not going to find somebody out here begging for food, right? These are spiritual pictures of people that have been stripped and they're alone. And as Ezekiel says, they are nothing but food for the beast of the field. You get that? The enemy prowls about seeking whom he may what? Devour. And I read a list of people that are being devoured. Amen? Here's what I see right here. Hungry, searching for life and truth. Thirsty, they're unquenched. They can't be satisfied. The outsider is lonely, disconnected. The naked is stripped of dignity. The sin sick are eaten up with their sin. I know men right now that I saw when I was growing up that stayed in the sinfulness that they were in, and they were nothing but a shell of what they used to be. Men that used to be heavyweight wrestlers and would just bulging with muscles. And they're nothing but a little shell of a man now because of sin, eating them up. And how about the prisoner of their own mind? To be mentally unstable to the point where you contemplate suicide. Do you know how many suicide attempts there are in this area? They're unsuccessful, thankfully. Many, many. Trying to escape the thoughts. So where are we, church? Everybody know what an excuse is, right? We all have excuses. First one. Well, an excuse is like a baked potato. You got to understand this first. Because an excuse is a lie that is wrapped with a reason. You hear that? It's a lie that is wrapped with a reason. These are my excuses. Well, I got married and I can't come. I bought some oxen and I must go try them out. I bought some land. I can't come. I got to go see that land. One of the most common ones is I don't have the gift of evangelism. I can't really talk to people. You're looking at a miracle in front of you. I couldn't talk to anyone. I couldn't talk to more than two people at the same time. That's what the Spirit of God has done for me. Can you talk to one person? You got it. You know what the secret to evangelism is? I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to let it loose. I don't have to write a book about this. Here it is. Come to church with me. Gee, is that simple? It's that simple. Come to church with me and meet some of the folks that I hang out with. And of course, that may spark a conversation about church and God, which is why we're alive, to also bring others in. Don't have the gift. Well, then you better cut off your feet then, because you are shod with the preparation of the gospel upon your feet. If you are dressed according to Ephesians, you are prepared with the gospel. Amen? You got to get totally dressed. You want to wear the helmet of salvation? You also got to put the feet on that are prepared to share the gospel. Amen? And then there's another. The disciples were special. I'm not. Oh, really, really, really. Can you deny Jesus three times? Can you do all of those things? Then Peter became a leader in Jerusalem, man of God, an incredible man of God. Who ushered, God used baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's no excuse. Another one, the cares choke us. We have too many cares. Yeah, that's what happens. He gets choked. I'm ashamed before men. Jesus said, if you're ashamed before men, I will be ashamed of you before my eyes, isn't it? The one that's really, really important is, if you don't, you can't possibly be a mentor to anyone. Be there when they come, you know what I mean? Actually, I invited somebody that I was going to go pick them up. And then in the morning, I'm like, okay, today, you know how you do that once in a while. Pastor, you can't do that. It's all, you know, I'm talking. Anyways, come to church regularly. You can't be one, right? I'm going to pick you up. Today, I'm going to pick you up because I'm trying to lead the kings. I want to be there with you. I want to help you. Do that. Or are we skipping church? Maybe show up once a month. That ain't going to fly. You'll never do anything for God if you're like that. That, but I got to tell you the truth. The word of God is righteousness. Amen. And got to stop it. Amen? You got a chance to come worship Jesus, the one that died for your sins, to be infused with his spirit, to unload your burdens upon him, and to worship the King of Kings. An invitation like that goes out every Sunday morning and also on Wednesday nights. Amen? Okay, the last one is the most painful. Reason why you don't care if you're in that. You might not be saved. You just might not be saved. I'm sorry. You could come to church. You could play along. You could do everything that everybody else does and still not be saved. Jesus said, to these that were outside, they said, didn't I do many wonderful works? Jesus, didn't you see all this? And they were knocking. And he says, I never knew you. I never knew you. That word means more than about. It means I know you. I know your innermost thoughts. I know what goes on. You're mine. 2 Corinthians 13:5. It's really hard to preach at your home church because you know everybody. and you don't want to put them in here. But I'm going to tell you the truth today. I'm not going to lie to you. Not that you have been lied to. It's just that I'm the crazy one that has to do this. I'm the one that will stand up here and say this, not being a pastor, because if I was a pastor, I'd be in trouble right now, probably. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Prove it to yourself how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Prove it to yourself. Make sure, examine yourself. Put yourself underneath God's microscope and say, Lord, do you know me? Do I know you? Or am I playing games every week? What is it, Lord God? Am I in or am I out? Am I a sheep or am I a goat? Examine yourself and prove to yourself. My sheep, hear my voice. That's the step. If you do not hear his voice, you may be in this category. In the last days, the love of many will wax cold. And men will be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetousness. They'll be idolaters. They'll be railers. There'll be all kinds of sin. And the heartbreaking thing is this. We have those group of people that are known sinners. But the people that come to church, those are the ones that should be connected. Every week, there should be a response. There should be a give and take with the Spirit of God within you and the Holy Ghost. If you are singing and shouting unto his name, he dwells in the midst of your praises. If you do not praise God, if you do not have the Spirit of God within you, you have no connection. Zero. Nothing. You can't wait to get out of the worship service because there is a disconnect. You've got to examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. Don't wait. Don't wait. Do it now. Do it today. And this is where I go off the rails. My calling was in 1979 at a Greyhound station in January or February of 1979. And Jesus showed me this when he called me. He showed me preaching in the last days. And I saw the vision that he put into my heart, people reaching up to Jesus Christ and getting saved, getting healed. Their broken hearts are no longer broken. The chains are snapped on their ankles. They're not bound anymore. They're free. And He's been speaking to me this. He that is to come and will not tarry. The old message, Jesus is coming soon, is still relevant this day today. You don't know the hour. I don't know the hour. And he said, when you think not, that's when I return. What are you gonna do when you stand before him if you're not connected to him? That's an awful thought. An awful thought. An awful, awful thought. I have a personal reward that I'm looking for. You know, when you stand there, when you first get to heaven, you know what's going to be my reward? And I'm speaking personally to you. When I see people that got saved that I knew. Something like this. John, you made it! You made it! Sue from Adams, you made it! Glory to God, look at the Lamb! Look at the throne! Look at the people! Look at the angels! Isn't this glorious? Ed, you made it! Glory to God! What a day this is! Today we see the throne. Today we can see Jesus as he is. Look at the Lamb that paid for the sin. Oh, glory to God. That's my reward. every single person that I knew, maybe that I had witnessed to, maybe that I had something to do with their life, to see them stand before the throne and worship Jesus Christ. This is real. This isn't play money. This is real. This is the gospel, folks. You surrender your life to Him. You let Him live within you. You let Him have His way in your heart. Amen? You're going to see the Son of Man come with power and great glory, for the bad or for the good. You're going to see it. Every eye shall behold Him. Every eye. And every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. For those of you that are saved today, this is what happened to me. I'd been saved, I don't know, probably about 3 or 4 years. And there was a guest preacher. Came and preached. And I remember I was right about there. And he stood there and he described what I just described. People in bondage. And he talked about the glorious liberty that Jesus gives people. And then he said this. He says, do you even care about the ones that aren't going to share in this? Do you care for the unsaved? Does it make you weep like Jesus wept? Paul said, even now I tell you weeping, those have gone astray. And he listed off some people. I tell you now, even weeping, he said, if Jesus lives in you, you should have a care for the unsaved. The most hideous thing to say is, the sinners are going to get their comeuppance someday. Yeah, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Really? You have no mercy for those that are going to hell? Really? Do you care? You that are born again today, how much of a burden do you have for the unsaved? Anyways, he looked right over at me and he said, do you have a burden for the unsaved? And I just simply said, no. No, I didn't. I was excited that I was saved, but I was building my own kingdom. I didn't really care about anybody else. I'm doing a custom van. I'm putting Jesus as Lord on the side of it. What more do you want? It's got a 350 with headers. 0 to 60 in about 10 seconds. I'm serious. I really am. That was my kingdom I was building. I didn't want people to interfere. You see, in Matthew, when it describes the sheep, it describes somebody that is spending a lot of time hungry, thirsty, visiting. It cost the Samaritan that found the bloody, half-dead traveler looking down at him going, oh, man, this is going to cost me a lot. Probably going to have to put him up in the inn. I don't know about this, Lord. I don't think I can do this. Are we going to be that guy? No, that guy didn't do that. He spent money. He spent time. He invested. It's not a casual, God bless you, have a good day. No, guy's half dead. This is where you find people in this world. They're half dead. They're dead in sin. They're a corpse. You're the one that brings life to them. Jesus through you. I mean Him living in you brings life to people. Says, do you care? And will you care? Remember the list of excuses, the lies, an excuse, a reason why you cannot reach one person every 6 months. One out of every 30 wants to listen intently. Yep, you know, put up with it. Is it worth it to be in 9 times? Yes. Yes. Oh, I don't want to be the freak that walks up and starts talking to him about getting saved. No. Why not? Why not? What's the worst that could happen? I've never been hit in the face. Ever. I got threatened one time. Just once. Only once. My wife was there. It was funny because I started talking to her. I was drunk. And he goes, he looks at me and says, "You shut up. I want to talk to her." No problem. You're the guy with the tattoos and the angry look. And so I'll go with that. The worst that could happen, if you are that person, you're checking out the Cheerios, you know it looks like their life is destroyed. The chance of you being embarrassed if you just go over and start a conversation. Amen. Amen. If you want God to touch you, that is heavier than you have ever had forward, we're going to sing a song, Hosanna. In that song, it mentions a heartbreak that makes yours. Amen. Did you know that is a very small Santa County area? That's a small. There are people around you that are broken in half. The word. That's not right. Amen. If we don't get feedback, I'm going to go over here. You come on up. If you want God to touch you with the feeling of the unsaved, and you want to be able to do something, you want boldness in your life, come on up. Hallelujah. Today and you do not know Jesus Christ, if you have never been born again, ever, I want to pray with you. I want you to come up here and know Him and know eternal life, because it is a serious thing. It isn't something you can wait for. Your day should be today. There's no reason to wait any longer. Come on up. I'll pray for you. I promise.